I'm excited to introduce you to Bloom, an audio erotica platform with over 1,000 stories, guides, and audiobooks. If you like the content here, you'll love this platform. They have something for literally every mood. They put an emphasis on consent, ethical sex, and aftercare in all of their stories. Creating an account is free. Just visit bloomstories.com and sign up. If you want to upgrade your subscription, use promo code GIRLONTHENET to save up to 70%.
Note that this fantasy contains humiliation, degradation, restraints, a gangbang, mention of piss play, and elements of consensual non-consent. This is In Use, a gangbang fantasy, written and read by Molly Moore. I don't have all the pieces. It's a fantasy. Sometimes they can be a bit like dreams, with bits that just happen, or locations that you don't really know or recognise. It's about how it feels, how it makes me feel, much more than about the where or the who. There are various versions of this fantasy. They share a central theme, but the details change. I've never written this one before. It always felt too personal, too intimate in some way. But the current Kink of the Week topic, which is about being naked while everyone else is clothed, made me think about this story. And so I decided to see if I could give life to the images in my head. Last year, I visited a private dungeon in London with a friend. It felt like a space that could match this fantasy. No windows, lots of places to tie or restrain a person, and a medical chair with stirrups. Can you picture it? Let me help you. It sits in the centre of the room. I don't think that is where it lives, but for today it has been pulled out into the centre of the room so that you can walk all the way around it, so you can access all parts of it, all parts of me. The chair, or is it a table, is a kind of cross between the two. You could call it a chable. It's cushioned. There is a place to rest your head, and then the bit where your body goes. It can sit up, chair-like, or it can be reclined at various degrees until you're basically laying flat. The seat part, where your bum goes, well, that is mostly missing. It's like it all stops too soon, and the only reason you don't slip off is because your legs are supported in the stirrups, which are padded too. They cradle the back of the knees and your calves. As I lay back and lift my legs up into the waiting harness, you buckle the ties just below my knees, tugging on each one in turn to check that they are fastened properly, that I am fastened properly. A little shiver of anticipation runs through me. I smile at you, searching your face for a reassuring smile in return, but your eyes are dark and unreadable. You check the straps again, and then run a warm hand up the inside of my thigh. Your fingers part my labia, and I realise you are inspecting me. You swirl one fingertip at the opening of my cunt and bring it up to your face. The slight nod of your head in response to what you see there tells me you are happy. You wipe your finger dry on the inside of my thigh before walking away. I am totally naked. When I arrived, you greeted me warmly, taking my coat, showing me to the comfy corner. You offered me a drink, but I declined. I had drunk water on the way and already needed to pee. I didn't want that to be all I could think about. Little did I know that soon my brain would be so occupied with other parts of my body that any potential need to pee would be obliterated. As if you could read my mind, you indicated the door to the bathroom across the room. When the clock says 10 past, you will excuse yourself and go to the bathroom. Make sure you pee, but once you have done that, remove all your clothes, and I mean all of them. Failure to do so will be met with a punishment. Fold them, bring them out with you. You can leave them there and then you will stand on that spot and wait. With those last words, you pointed at the floor, and that's when I noticed you had attached one of those tiny little tab post-it notes to the floor about a metre and a half in front of where you were sitting. Without waiting for me to answer, or giving me any time to ask questions, you transitioned on to asking me about my journey. How had I got here? How long had it taken? For a moment, I was distracted by your inquiries. The details of your previous instructions almost lost in the fact that you had just casually dropped them in and then moved straight on. It was only when you glanced down at your wristwatch that the very first thing you had said came flooding back. The clock on the wall over your head. The time, 10 past the hour. "Will you excuse me? I need to use the bathroom," I stated. You nodded your consent to me. That walk across the room, I tried to look controlled, calm, but I could feel your eyes on me. The anticipation in the room seeming to take up too much of the air, so that when I closed the door of the bathroom behind me, I had to take a deep breath to stop my chest from feeling tight. I took another big breath before I stepped back out, letting it slowly escape my lungs through pursed lips. I was ready. I am ready, I thought to myself. I placed my clothes and shoes on the sofa where I had been sitting and then came to stand above the little pink square on the floor, my feet either side of it. The feeling of satisfaction at having followed your instructions perfectly giving me confidence. You said nothing. Sitting back in the chair, you just looked at me. Not my eyes, but every other part of me, from my lips, down my neck, across my breasts, and down until they got to the tiny pink square on the floor. You sucked your cheeks in slightly as if something you had found had slightly irritated or disappointed you. With a flick of your fingers, you motioned for me to turn round. I could just make out your legs in the mirror across the room, but I couldn't see your face. I didn't need to, though, to know you were looking me over. I could feel your eyes on me, and then hear the sound of fabric on fabric as you stood up. And now here I was, completely naked on the table, legs strapped down, the little smear of my juices drying quickly on the warm skin of my thigh as you opened the door to the room and welcomed our guests. First two, then a tap on the door moments later, and another one was ushered in. There was shaking of hands and drinks were handed out. Again, the tap on the door, another guest, and finally another a few moments later. I knew he was the last to arrive when you slid the chain across the door after you waved him in. No one paid me any mind. It was like I was not there, invisible to them all. But then one of them waved a hand towards the space and said, "This place looks cool. I like it." They all turned and looked, agreeing with him, their eyes flitting over the room, over me, as if I was just another part of the furniture, seen but no more noteworthy, for now at least, than the floggers hanging on the wall or the cage pushed into the corner. The realisation made me whimper. It would have been better if they had swarmed straight to me, making me the centre of their attention immediately. One of them smiled briefly at me in response to the noise I had made. It was not a tender, benevolent smile, but a knowing, almost cruel one. And then he turned his attention back to his drink and the group. I could feel my heart beating in my chest, and much to my shame, I could also feel the wetness from my cunt starting to leak down towards my arse. Apprehension, anticipation, even a little flutter of fear caused adrenaline to spike in my system. I tried to steady my breath, to not let it overwhelm me. They carried on talking, drinking. There were snacks and they lounged around, sharing stories, laughing. Why were they waiting? Why bring me here and then ignore me? As the clock ticked on, my fear turned to annoyance and impatience. I was about to call his name, to demand his attention, but then I noticed the two men sitting on the sofa nearest me had their heads bent close, and as one whispered into the ear of the other, He watched me across the room, smiling and nodding. I was no longer furniture. I was the topic of their conversation. The anger left my body as fast as it had come, the little throb of anxious anticipation returning in its place. The others gradually quietened, the atmosphere in the room changing as the two men who had been whispering about me placed their glasses on the table in front of them and rose from their seats. I looked over at you. There was the smile I had been wanting earlier, reassuring, affirming. Then you vanished behind one of the men. "Like this, you mean?" he said as he reached out and took one of my nipples between his thumb and forefinger, tugging it up into a point and twisting it ever so slightly. The pain was sharp, and I hissed in response. "Yes, exactly," said the other man. "Shame we don't have any pegs," he continued. When his friend let go of my nipple, it stood hard and erect in response to his cruel touch. By now, all five men were standing round me. They were all wearing jeans and T-shirts. One of them laid a gentle hand on my thigh. The warmth was comforting for a moment, until his fingers started to dig into my flesh. I tried to jerk away, but there was nowhere to go, the straps and the structure holding me firmly in place. There was power in this room. It filled the space like a scent, and absolutely none of it was mine. Of course, pegs were found. First one, then the other was attached to my nipples. Hands explore me, running underneath my breasts, across my neck and over my stomach, on legs and thighs. Someone tickled the sole of one of my feet. Someone else pushed two fingers into my mouth. At first, I just held them there. But then, as they started to slide in and out, I couldn't help myself, and I sucked on them. From behind me came the words, "Next, you can suck on my cock like that." Heat flamed my face. I wish I could say no. "Stop it. Don't be so disgusting. Who do you think you are? Who the fuck do you think I am? Let me down from here now." But the truth was, I wanted this so fucking badly. To be used and defiled by this group of men. To be spread open, probed and talked about, laughed about. To hear them encourage each other, goad one of them and then another as they took turns. I wanted them to stuff their fingers in me, to taste my weeping cunt, to fuck my mouth, one and then another, taking turns at my head and then between my legs, fucking my cunt until it was sore and raw from use. Their T-shirts pulled up, their jeans open just enough to get their cocks out, the rough fabric grazing up against my chin and my thighs, catching on my clit from time to time as they fucked themselves into my naked, exposed body. A wet and willing slut, a toy to be thoroughly enjoyed. Any protests that I should utter met with laughter or just completely ignored. The only care I am given is regular sips of water. They know a dehydrated whore is a dry whore, and she doesn't feel half as good as a wet one. You watch it all. A couple of times you bring your cock to my face and have me suck you while one of the others takes his pleasure in my cunt. But you mostly watch. At one point you reach over and knock one of the pegs from my nipples. The rush of blood back into the compressed flesh is so painful that I arch my back and cry out. The man between my thighs rubs roughly at my clit in response, and instantly I'm coming, sharp and hard. But as soon as he feels my muscles tighten around his cock, he stops his ministrations. My orgasm dies away almost immediately, and my little growl of frustration makes you chuckle. Eventually it is repeated with the other nipple, but this time the man who is feasting on my cunt with his mouth replaces his tongue with his cock and fucks me deeply and slowly through my orgasm. And so it goes on. There are lulls as drinks are sorted and breaks are taken. Someone visits the bathroom, but only after a discussion about whether he should just pee on me or not. In the end, the group seems to decide not this time. No one feels like mopping the floor later. I keep my mouth shut, but the thought of it, of laying here at the end of this smelling of their cum and their piss, my legs strapped open, cunt bruised and jaw aching, almost makes me cum again. At one point, there is just one of them. The others are across the room. He stands next to me, one hand caressing my belly and dipping between my thighs. He watches my face every time he slides a finger into me, smiling to himself when he gets a reaction. Then he leans down and whispers into my ear, "Next time, I'm going to make sure he lets us fuck your ass." And as he speaks, I feel the tip of his finger push into my bum. My thighs twitch, and he knows I want it. He checks across the room. You are distracted. He moves between my thighs and bends his head, taking my clit into his mouth. And as he does, he pushes his finger into my arse, rocking it in and out of me in short little movements. Again, I come. It's almost instant. And as he stands up, he leans forward again and winks at me as he says, "Next time it'll be my cock." I'll almost come again. Eventually they regroup. The atmosphere has changed. There's an urgency to them now. The first one to fuck me this time grunts as he pushes into me. I know all the abuse has made me swollen and tight. I can see it on his face as he takes it slowly. But then once he is buried balls deep into me, he starts to fuck me with long, hard strokes, before finally pulling out and spraying his cum over my lower belly, stroking the final few drops out onto my clit. Then the next man is up. They come up me, one after another, brutal and savage, using me to make themselves jizz. 1, 2, 3, 4, and finally 5. And you? You offer more drinks. Most decline. They visit the bathroom. The chatter is minimal now. The odd words as they navigate round each other, and then they start to leave, until eventually you draw the chain across the door again, and it's just you and me. You pick up your camera and take a few pictures. I can't imagine what I must look like. Makeup smeared across my face, hair tangled round my head, where it has been held in handfuls as my mouth was penetrated. My legs still held firmly in place, my cunt red and swollen, little bruises peppering my thighs and breasts, and jizz everywhere, on my tits, my stomach, but mostly running down between my legs. The smell of my shame filling the room as some of it slowly drips down over my arsehole and eventually onto the floor below. "I should have let him piss on you," you say, as you continue to snap away, as I'm clearly going to have to mop anyway. At first, I think you ignore the whimper I give out in response, but as you place the camera down on the side, you say, "Clearly, you like that idea, my little bitch, to be left covered in cum and piss, smelling of their various deposits. Next time." As you speak, you come to stand between my legs, unzipping your trousers and pulling out your cock. You are rock hard. You use two fingers to open me up, inspecting my cunt. "Oh, you look sore," you say in a fake concerned voice. "This is going to hurt a bit, you know." And you place the head of your cock up against the opening of my hole. But then, that is exactly what I wanted. I didn't want to just be one of the men who had you. I wanted to be the one who came last, the one who hurt you that little bit more than the others, the one who fucked you when you were so sore and had absolutely nothing left. No fight, no clarity, just the throbbing flesh between your legs and my cock hard and thick, using you one final time, making you come one final time, watching the tears run down your face as you cry in exhaustion, in shame, in need, in desperation, and in relief when I emptied my balls into your well-fucked hole. "You always remember the last man," he grunted as he drove himself into me with one hard thrust. And he was absolutely fucking right. If you like this, you can find more of my work at molliesdailykiss.com and more sexy stories read aloud at girlonthenet.com/audioporn.